I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mike Shope.
I have these notes, but I gotta say I'm just fired up to be here today.
And the Bulldog.
Pretty cool. Pretty damn cool. Woo!
On WGR.
Come on! Get up! Come on, get up if you're as tight as I am.
Sports Radio 550.
Yes, welcome back. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here, joined now on the Wester Hotline by Steve Palazzolo of Pro Football Focus, PFF.com. That's Steve Palazzolo at PFF_Steve. And so, Steve, I was just in the last minute here Googling you just to find out if I could how long you've been at Pro Football Focus, and I think I found 8 years and wanted to say that. And guess what else I found? Your pitching career. I did not know this. You pitched in the minor leagues. Is it the Giant organization or others?
Yeah, Giants, Brewers, and Mariners. Bounced around a whole bunch of independent ball and, made it up to AAA for a little bit.
That's awesome. What was the, if you have one, like what was the number one highlight of your baseball career?
Probably sitting in the bullpen at a major league spring training game for 2 games and not getting in. So I was just there as an add-on if they needed me, and they didn't need me, but I got to sit in the Major League bullpen for a couple days.
That's pretty good. Well, congratulations on that. I never knew that about you.
What number did you have, like 98 or something?
When you literally 98. That was my number.
Come on.
Bang.
Come on. You're just sitting there the whole time like, I didn't know this. Then you come with the jersey number. Very, very good. All right, Steve, here's my first question. The article ranking starting quarterbacks that you had on Monday, going from Tom Brady to Josh Allen, 1 to 32. I wonder, like, we call you guys, all radio stations like ours calls, you know, you guys when there's something new that's published. And maybe you would know this. Are we more likely to do that when our guy is last?
Yes. Look, I ranked all the quarterbacks. I think the more important part of the ranking was the tiers. I put them into 4 basic tiers with a very thoughtful explanation of what I think those tiers meant. I probably made the mistake of, people like rankings, so you put a number to it. But the reality is putting Josh Allen at 32 versus putting him at 28 doesn't really change much. You know, if he ends up being the 15th best quarterback in the NFL this year, there's still a chance that that happens. I think the tiers are the most important thing. And you know, the 4th tier of quarterback was, you know, guys that either haven't done it yet at the NFL level or they have some question marks. And I think with Allen and a guy like Lamar Jackson, both very similar, they're both guys with unique skill sets that you can use in the NFL, but some serious accuracy concerns that need to be mitigated. So that's why they're in that bottom quarter of the league, and they still have a lot to prove at the NFL level.
What I think is really interesting about watching Allen this year, Steve, is what they've done around him and chiefly Cole Beasley as a piece in this offense, because Allen, I think, and you even write about this, like big plays are going to be a way to offset. Like, what's the pathway to success for Allen? And a lot of people, myself included, have sort of drawn up a scenario where you get enough big plays to offset not having a 65% completion percentage. Like, I'm gonna have lightning strikes, and that's what the big arm gives you. Yet, and then the Bills did address that in bringing John Brown in, certainly. But Beasley is a possession guy for a quarterback that hasn't yet demonstrated that he's really that good at just making those easy throws that they give you. I guess the early returns in preseason are positive, but I mean, we're talking about, you know, preseason. I think that's the really fascinating part of watching this season, is that the Bills gave Allen Cole Beasley and whether or not he's going to be able to make maximum use of him.
Yeah, so it's a really good point, and it's pretty nuanced, too, because when you look at Allen's skill set, I think you have to ask yourself, okay, what do you ultimately want him to do? it does help having more easy throws. It does help having a slot option and then having a guy like John Brown down the field. I think they would, you know, really, it would be really nice if they had a great tight end that could stretch the seam. So you still have more to do, I think, as far as building the skill, you know, the skill position players around him. But you also don't want to get to a point where you try to turn Josh Allen into Tom Brady either, or Drew Brees. You don't want to make him a guy that's throwing, you know, up to 20 yards all the time, because he does have that big arm to stretch the field and instill a little bit of fear into defenses. So he's similar to say, like a Cam Newton, guys that maybe throw for throw are not very accurate. And we saw this with the Panthers last year. They really tried to turn Cam Newton into a short pass type of guy, which was fine. It helped his production a little bit, but it does leave some of those lightning strikes, as you call them, on the field a little bit. So I think ultimately you want to find that balance. You keep that natural aggressiveness, but one of Allen's big weaknesses coming out of Wyoming was the inability to just properly make good decisions in the quick game and throw timing and accurate routes up to 10 yards. So if Beasley helps him with that a little bit and steals a few, you know, cheap completions, so to speak, easier completions, that's great. But you still want to keep that natural aggressiveness and that ability to pick up yards with his legs, as he was so good doing that last year.
So, Steve, like, what in your mind is a good year for him? And maybe you wouldn't want to. I don't know. Like, can you quantify that? I'm trying to, like, we talked to lots of people and tried to figure out, like, so what's a good year? If he can't be way up here completion percentage wise, I mean, the Bills for years, if this even matters, have just not had good passing totals. What would you say?
So a couple things on that. First off, I believe strongly that you know, conditions are a little underrated when it comes to passing stats. Throwing in a dome is so much easier at the NFL level. The passer rating for dome quarterbacks is about 6 or 7 points higher than they are outdoors. So throwing in Buffalo is not easy. It's automatically going to make the production a little bit more difficult. Plus playing in New England and in New York, you know, twice a year. So that's not easy, first of all. But I think with Allen, the way I would judge it, he showed that there were games where he could put 4 touchdowns on the board. You know, I think there's going to be a year that he stumbles into 28 touchdowns, you know, through the air, and 8 or 10 touchdowns as a runner. I don't see him being consistent enough to maybe do that every year. But again, similar to Cam Newton, where Cam has been a pretty mid-tier quarterback for the majority of his career, but the high-end play was an MVP caliber season. I'm not saying Allen necessarily has that in him, but I wouldn't be surprised if he has one of those years where he just, you know, maybe averages 8 yards per attempt, maybe only completes 59, 58% of his passes, and puts up a bunch of touchdowns. So I think that's kind of your high-end play. It's big plays, maybe not the cleanest completion percentage, and a guy that could put some points on the board. But he just needs to avoid the disastrous games, you know, the 3 and 4 interception games, which he's shown that he has in him as well.
You know, you mentioned his running and not wanting to curtail that. And that's, you know, there's a couple things, a couple directions to take the conversation on that subject. One is the data that tells you so many of his yards came on scrambles versus rushes, designed running plays, whereas Lamar Jackson, the only quarterback who rushed for more yards than Allen did last year, the vast majority of his yards came on designed runs versus scrambles. I don't know that I need the Bills designing more running plays for Josh Allen to run. I think him running out of spread sets worked well enough as it was, and it even if they weren't exactly designed run plays, they looked very much to me late last year like plays where, hey, if your first read's not there, feel free to take off. If we're flooding the field with receivers and defenders have their backs turned, take the 15 yards, and he did that capably. I don't want them to steer him away from that. I still think that that's valuable.
Yeah, again, it's definitely about hitting that balance, you know, because he hasn't shown to be the most efficient passer going from one read to the next. You know, his accuracy percentage when going, you know, to his next read is, you know, far below the NFL average. So, you know, last year it probably was a little bit more efficient taking off, but you'd rather see, it's better long-term for Buffalo if he does advance as a passer, but you keep those scrambles in there when they arise, whether it's man coverage or whatever it might be, to keep the defense off balance, you know, because when you do sneak a 50-yard rushing game in there, it is tough on the defense. You know, you pick up a third, you know, 7 yards on 3rd and 6 is valuable. But also hitting a little 5-yard curl on your second read is also valuable as well. So again, finding that balance, that long-term development as a passer, getting to your check down, getting to your next read, and then learning when to scramble and take off and pick up those free yards. You know, if Allen can put all that stuff together, yeah, he's a very dangerous quarterback.
Steve, what do you think about the occasional or maybe more than occasional disagreements, even within analytics, that there can be on quarterbacks? I wasn't really thinking too much about that until seeing some back and forth on Lamar Jackson today. And we've said the same thing about Allen and Jackson, both being guys that seem to be kind of polarizing players. Are we at a point with in your business where the numbers can lead you to just very different conclusions?
I think you have to know what to do with the numbers. I also think that there are people out there that don't really know what they're looking at when they're evaluating football. And I think there are people out there that think that Lamar Jackson's accurate. And on the throw-for-throw basis, he's not. And look, there's nuance behind all of this. And I think I try to explain this as much as possible. If you watch a Lamar Jackson game and you're a big fan of Lamar Jackson, you will have plenty of plays to show your fandom and say, look at him go through his progressions. Look at him make this NFL throw. Watch this run. But if you think that Lamar Jackson is at the lower end of the quarterback rankings, you'll have something to say too, because you'll see a couple misses. You'll see some inaccuracy. So both things are true. The nuance comes in with, how does Baltimore build an offense around that? Well, they do it by creating more open throws, which you can do because he has such an impressive running ability. You get extra guys in the box. Teams have to account for him. It'll create more open throws. That'll mitigate his accuracy a little bit. He can go through progressions and do stuff. He's not looking to take off all the time. He's more of a designed run type of guy. So there's something to work with, but you also have to be honest with yourself and say, throw for throw, his accuracy is far below the level of an NFL player. But if you take his 50 best throws, they look like any other quarterback's 50 best throws. So it's about how often you do something in the NFL. And I think that's where Lamar is just lacking. But much like Josh Allen, there's a path to success for those guys. And I also think, you know, the discrepancy either comes from not quantifying his accuracy properly, or when you're making comparisons, not properly comparing errors the same way, or not comparing apples to apples. I think a big part of an analytics is trying to strip things down as much as possible without losing the sample size, figure out what stuff matters, figure out what stuff is stable from year to year, and focus on the things that the quarterback can control most and the stuff that defines his skill set most, and then understand that the rest of the stuff around him can change, and that can affect his overall production, if that all makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Does it strike you at all, Steve, as though Allen and Jackson, Buffalo and Baltimore, are sort of on the front lines of somewhat of an experiment here with these guys? Because the completion percentage, like the modern passing game, is so predicated on, I mean, I was looking through just last week, embroiled in a back and forth on Twitter about Allen's completion percentage, to see that if he got to 65%, he still would be like 30th in the league or something. Like the completion percentage is so, maybe it was 60. I think 60 would still have him 30th, which is amazing.
Right.
I mean, the transformation of the passing game seems so predicated on accuracy and completion percentage. And here you've got Jackson and Allen in years two, just sort of kind of, their teams are somewhat flying in the face of that.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, look, the NFL is different now than it was years ago. It's a completely different league. It's easier to complete passes, and teams are taking the shorter pass route. You know, they're throwing a lot more screens. There's a lot more quick game. The rules are all in favor of the passer. So there's a lot of reasons for that. I don't think it's necessarily better quarterback play, but I also think, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, Andy Dalton was kind of like the poster boy for that middle, dead smack in the middle quarterback. And you said, if you've got, you need somebody at least as good as Andy Dalton, or else you're moving on and you're looking for someone else. Now it feels like there's a lot more guys at that Andy Dalton level. There's 20 to 25 guys and if you ask every NFL team, probably 30 of them feel pretty good about their quarterback situation right now. That was not the case, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. It was more like 10 teams or 12 teams. So I also think that there's a lot more quarterback talent in the league. Not necessarily high-end talent, but that middle-class type of talent. And middle-class quarterbacks in today's NFL can complete a high rate and can, if they're surrounded by the right guys, can put up a lot of production. And I think that's what Baltimore and Buffalo are banking on, taking a guy that's, you know, at best probably a middle-tier type of guy and, you know, trying to surround them with a lot of talent and trying to extract that production out of them.
And that pretty much answers my next question, which I now won't ask. But I love how you laid that out. I was going to bring up this third tier on your ranking, Steve, 11 to 22. And there are guys there that have won games and accomplished a lot, gone to a Super Bowl. But I don't know if they're all set. Like, I don't know if the Rams even, or the maybe that's not the best case, but San Francisco talking about today with last night's game, like, how good are they at really at those positions? And you laid that out well. One part of that is win-loss record. And this is an old favorite. I saw you tweeting about this today, too. You say, I believe, that win-loss record can't – and this, by the way, Mayfield in his comments about Daniel Jones. You say, I believe, that that can be useful to a point.
Yeah, so it's kind of flies in the face of what my colleagues might even focus on, because we're so focused on play-by-play grading and everything like that. But I think win-loss record over time probably bridges the gap a little bit. So, there are intangibles that, again, they're intangible that we can't necessarily quantify. And if we're talking 10 to 15-year samples, so if you're evaluating Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, guys that have been around the league forever, Aaron Rodgers, their win-loss record's probably going to get you in the ballpark as far as how good they've been as quarterbacks. And some of the examples I use, I think to show how dominant Brady's been, no matter the situation, even when his defense gives up at least 21 points or 30 points, or when they ask him to throw the ball 40 times or 50 times, he's always far and away the top quarterback as far as win-loss record. And I think that speaks to his ability to kind of play to the situation, be aggressive when he needs to be conservative when he needs to be, and essentially play the game, so to speak, even if that doesn't encapsulate his throw-for-throw analysis. So I think win-loss record over time gets you in the ballpark as far as who the best quarterbacks are. But in a short sample size, obviously it's a team game, and there's a whole lot of other factors that go into whether or not a team wins or loses.
You've got Dak Prescott in that vast middle class, and there's talk about a new contract for him, and, I don't know, $40 million made the rounds last week, and maybe it ends up in the mid-30s or somewhere about there. Is that going to be good money, or is he the new Andy Dalton?
Yeah, he's in that type of class. And look, he's done a lot of good things as far as wins and losses go, too. So maybe there is a little bit more to him. But as far as throw-for-throw goes, I think he's settled in that middle tier. And the middle tier of quarterback, that consists of guys that can have top 10 caliber seasons. You can get top 10 production out of them. It's just harder to do. It's more dependent on their supporting cast, their playmakers, their play callers, their offensive line. We saw Dak, he had a top 10 type of season as a rookie, but he's dropped off dramatically the last 2 years, whereas the Breezes and Bradys and Rodgers of the world, you can bank on those guys being top 10 caliber every single year despite what they have around them. So that's the difficult part with Dak Prescott, is taking him from one of the best cost control deals and contracts in the NFL and potentially making him one of the highest paid. He would go from one of the best deals in the NFL to one of the worst. So I think it speaks to the need of the NFL to have sort of a middle class contract for quarterbacks, either paying them a lot of money up front, but being able to get out of the contract after 2 or 3 years, a little bit like what the Vikings did for Kirk Cousins, or just having, instead of $30 million a year, a $20 million a year contract or a $25 million a year contract, some sort of middle class type of contract that fits a guy's skill set, rather than whoever needs to get paid next all of a sudden gets paid at the top, because it does skew the value quite a bit.
Very good. Lastly, Steve, what do you use the preseason for? I mentioned Garoppolo and his game, and I did see some people talking about 1-for-6, and like, should I care?
With Garoppolo, no. He's coming off injury. I mean, it looked like he was trying to just not get hit. Obviously, if you see more of that, it's a bit of a concern. I like looking at the rookies. I think most rookies look the same way that they did in college. But every now and again, Daniel Jones has looked better than expected. Or a couple years ago, Dak Prescott looked better than you saw from him in college. So every now and again, you see a little bit of a difference in the rookies. I think that's important in the preseason. And then, new players, new teams, new system, new scheme, or something like a Josh Allen, firing a ton of targets to Cole Beasley and saying, hey, I could see that working, or I could see where they would use that in the offense. I think all of that stuff's useful for the preseason as you kind of try to predict what's going to happen during the regular season.
Very good. Thanks a lot for your time today, Steve. We appreciate you being on with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.